The Tigers get back to the World Series in 1984.
Great start to the season. You go 35-5 right out of the chute. That just propelled that team to great things.
Oh, it did. When you win 35 out of the first 40 games, you've got such a nice cushion that you know unless there's a complete collapse, you're going to make the playoffs. But ironically, Sparky Anderson told me that that was the most nervous season he'd gone through as a manager. Because the Tigers were establishing this magnificent record, Sparky always feared they would hit the playoffs and be eliminated and not get in the World Series, and it would take away the achievement of the team in the regular season. And it did bother him a lot. They didn't have a lot of superstars, but they had Jack Morris and Lance Parrish and Gibby and some of those guys. And Trammell, of course, was a superstar, Whitaker. But they seemed to just get together and do the right thing, and they built confidence as it went along, and it was a great season to be around. But I remember one incident that we had in Anaheim. The Tigers had been on Sports Illustrated. They'd been in Sporting News. Spark had been featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Everybody was writing about Sparky and the Tigers, and they were breaking the record for most consecutive road wins. And they won a game in Anaheim, and they won another game in Anaheim. And we were getting ready to go to Seattle. And Spark and I were sitting in the coffee shop there at the hotel in Anaheim. And a guy comes up and interferes with Sparky's breakfast. He says, "Hey, I'm from San Diego, Spark, and I used to be in Cincinnati. I'm a great Cincinnati fan, the Big Red Machine. You are the greatest manager in baseball. You are simply terrific. By the way, what are you doing now?" And Sparky went back to his cornflakes immediately.
They did not lose in the playoffs. They advanced to the World Series. How'd they take care of business?
Well, they took care of business with good pitching and good balance. They swept the series with Kansas City. They had no trouble at all with the Kansas City team. Then I think most of the people around Detroit were sort of hoping that the Cubs would win their playoff and those two teams would meet in the World Series because it was somewhat of a rivalry between Chicago and Detroit. But Mr. Garvey saw differently, and he led the San Diego Padres past the Cubs, and the Padres were the team that represented the National League against the Tigers. And the Tigers went out there, opened the series, and won the first game, lost the second, and then won all the others. And it was a great time in Detroit. The celebration was marred to some extent by a guy barbecuing a taxi cab, and that picture got all over the world. It wasn't really symbolic of the city at that time, but people made the world feel that it was. But it was a great time in Detroit, and I think we still celebrate that 84 team.
There was a dramatic moment in that ball game, and you alluded to Gibby a few minutes ago. Kirk Gibson hit a dramatic home run in the eighth inning that put the Tigers up and pretty much wrapped up the series, didn't it?
Well, that iced it, yeah, and he hit it against Gossage, who had always been a nemesis of Gibby's, and the first time they'd ever met, Goose struck him out, and Goose talked Dick Williams into keeping him in the ball game. And after that short conversation, Gibby parked one in the upper deck in right field for the climactic home run of that World Series.
And they will walk Gibson, I believe, with Parrish coming up. There's no error, by the way. That is ruled a sacrifice fielder's choice. But Templeton knows how it's scored in his own scorebook. It figures they'll take the bat right out of Gibson's hand. And now Dick Williams is going to go out there because Kennedy held up four fingers and then went up to the mound. Well, let's see.
Well, you gotta believe that he's going to put him on with four pitches. But if he starts to fool around and throw a couple pitches and get a couple strikes, don't you know that Sparky will be screaming about that Raleigh Fingers Johnny Bench play?
That's right. You have to turn the clock back. With two strikes on bench, Dick went out to the mound, caught the fingers. Tennis held his hand out as if we're going to put him aboard. Suddenly, Tennis dropped into a crouch. Bingo, strike three.
Well, they're making a decision here, and Williams is in charge.
You know what's interesting? Kirk Gibson made his major league debut, his very first at-bat in the big leagues, against Goose Gossage. That's a great way to break in. And Gossage struck him out on three pitches.
Blew him away, Sparky says.
And maybe because of that, Gossage is saying, I can get him. Well, we'll see. Ball one. The infield is up. They give Gibson the left field foul line. Brown is in left.